Okay, this is really interesting. I saw a few people who were watching online were chatting and text chatting before, and they were talking about Saugata Mitra, which is almost exactly what I want to talk about. And it's how I use the hole in my classroom. Hole in my classroom is a term that we've come to use in class to describe networked computers. They're basically holes that we can look through and view anything in the world that we want to view. Web sense allowed. So I got the inspiration for this watching Saugata Mitra's TED talk about 18 months ago. And here's the guy himself. What he basically did, his office in Delhi bordered a slum area of the city, and he decided to put embed a computer in a wall with high-speed internet access and watch the slum children and see how they interacted with it. I'm probably talking about stuff you already know, so I'll skip right on, but it led to him embedding computers in isolated areas, isolated villages in India. He wondered whether computers with internet access could help children who don't have access to a teacher. It was really fascinating. He gave one group of children who spoke no English, they spoke only Urdu, and he gave them the task of learning to pass a test on cellular biology. And after the first kind of 6 weeks of their learning in English, a foreign language to them, the average result they got was over 40%, which is the basic pass rate for the technical school in Delhi where the test came from. So he discussed this. He managed to get better results by including non-teaching adults as well. He calls them grannies because in the villages that the experiment ran, most of the people who had free time during the day to help out were grandmothers. But he was talking about this with his friend Arthur C. Clarke, who came up with this conclusion: any teacher who can be replaced by a computer should be. Now, I don't think that's what Saugata Mitra intended to prove or disprove, and I don't think that's the conclusion he himself would come to. But I think what he did do was develop a methodology, one of many methodologies, which we can use to augment the way we teach. It reminded me a little bit of when I did it in class, kids were working interdependently. They were linked by resource, by the computer they were using and other resources. They were linked by the common goal, which was to meet a particular set of criteria. And they were working they were learning through communicating with each other. And it reminded me an awful lot of cooperative learning, something that I've used for the last 4 or 5 years in class to fantastic effect. So I set my kids a challenge. I decided for the first lesson on angles for this year, we were going to use the hole in the classroom. It's the first time we ever used it. And I gave the kids a pre-test. I said, today, guys, we're doing angles. I didn't show them any learning intentions or anything like that. I just gave them a test. And you can see this is Kieran, and he thought it was highly unfair. I was testing him on something I hadn't given him any teaching on yet. He was very, very upset about that. Okay, so I gave three learning intentions after the pretest. I can measure an angle using a protractor to the nearest 5 degrees. I can estimate the size of an angle without measuring it to the nearest 10 degrees. And I can describe angles using the terms acute, obtuse, reflex, and right angle. I gave the class just 5 rules. Number one was 1 computer per group, and they worked in groups of 3 or 4. Number two was share ideas with other groups, because that's the ethos of our class. Number three was you can use any resource in class at all. Anything that you think might help you, you go for it. And rule number four was you get 1 question each. As a learner in my classroom, you can only ask me 1 question. You can ask everybody else as many questions as you want, but you only get to ask me once. Use it wisely. The kid who came up to me halfway through said, can I ask you a question? And I said, sure, that was it. He was very upset about that. And rule number five was remember our class values. Because I intended to step right back and just observe and formatively assess as we went along. So here are a few shots of the children learning. You can see the engagement, you can see the look on their faces as they're really into it. 2 things struck me immediately. One is all of the children came pre-programmed with the ability to use Google. They knew how to refine a search and what keywords to type in and how to select which pages that were thrown up would best suit their purpose or their needs. They used things like Woodlands Junior, Ambleside Primary. Only one child went straight to a textbook. She went to the bookshelf, got out an SMH textbook, and turned to the page on angles and got a protractor and started working through them. One thing I encouraged the children to do was to look over each other's shoulders and learn from each other. So here we have Kieran again, and he's kind of surreptitiously looking over the shoulder of another group there. this is my favourite shot of the whole thing. I don't know whether you can see this, everybody, but this is Mark. He's at a computer screen. He's at a laptop screen. He has a protractor held up to the screen, and he's measuring the angle. I would never have thought to suggest that they did that. And then at the end, I gave them another test. The first test, the pre-test, it was a test of 10 questions. The first test, the average score in the class, which is a primary 5 to 7 class with a huge age, ability range, the pre-test gave an average score of 4 out of 10. The post-test gave an average score of 7 out of 10. Every single child improved their score. So what did I learn from it? Well, firstly, I learned that the children, at the end of it, well, during the plenary, I said, first of all, you know, have you done any work today? Because they keep telling me in my class, you know, we've done no work today. So I said, have you done any work? No. Or did you learn anything? Yeah. What did you learn? And they pointed straight to the board and said, I can measure angles to the nearest 5 degrees. And then somebody else went, I've exceeded that target. And I thought, oh, I love you. So they were able to tell me exactly what they learned. All children attained during the 45-minute learning period. Everybody enjoyed what they did. The whole class, every at the end of every lesson, I asked kids to give me a fist to five. You know, how much have you learned today, or how much have you enjoyed today? Today was, this lesson was, how much have you enjoyed? Every kid was at a five. They were all challenged and engaged. What really, really struck me is they were all learning slap bang in the middle of their zone of proximal development, because they were pushing the learning where it needed to be pushed. There was massive personalization and choice because they chose where it went. And there was loads and loads of time. The entire 45 minutes was given over for me to step back, step in when I wanted to. The only thing I needed to encourage kids to do was to share the resource more and have equal participation. Nobody needed to be reminded to get back on task at all. And that was great for me in observing and assessing the children. And I could tell you at the end of the lesson exactly where each of those children were in their learning. It could be used as a whole lesson, as I did there. Since I did this about 2 months ago for the first time, since then I've used it as a micro, excuse me. I've got 1 minute, young. Since then I've used it as micro parts of a lesson. So we're doing a lesson on whatever it happens to be, and a child puts their hand up and asks me a question, and I say, you know what, you guys, your group, go to the hole in the wall and come and feedback to us. So that's how I use Sugata Mitra's, an adaptive version of Sugata Mitra's hole in the wall technique. Thank you. Which I may as well.